My guest today is Herka's Hero. We're going to start by playing a track off of his CD, Coronet, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. It's going to be a good show. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is Herka's Hero. How's it going?
Good. How are you, John?
Do I call you Mr. Herka? Do I call you Gus?
Plenty of people do, but you can call me Gus.
How does that work? Is this sort of like, is Herka's Hero the name of the project? Or is it your alias? How did you come up with this?
It started actually just as a stupid, like, idea. The person that I had a crush on when I started playing guitar was, his last name was Herka, and it was just one of those, like, high school girl things where you, like, write, you know, ooh, if I had a band, like, it'd be called this, and I just put out, like, my first, like, home recording under the moniker Herka's Hero, and it just stuck. Like, I've tried to get rid of it, but it's not going anywhere anymore.
Now, listening to this album, I mean, there's this full textured band vibe to it. Is this sort of like a Matthew Sweet, like you're playing everything, or is it a guy and his guitar who got other band members to help him fill out the sound?
Actually, on that album, I play everything except drums, and two songs have bass on them, and I didn't play that. So apart from that, everything else is me.
But not at the same time.
I don't have five hands, contrary to popular belief.
Did it start for you as just a guy and a guitar? And,
yeah.
And you're like, all right, I don't want to do the just acoustic, just
well
cafe thing.
It started off, actually, with the idea that I would eventually have a band. And I did for a little bit. But our drummer was on loan from another band, and so it didn't really work out, and after that I just kept the name. It started off as an idea of having a band, and now I don't know where it's going. I like playing solo a lot, but eventually I'd like to get a drummer, I think, just to, I don't know, be able to represent a little bit more of what I like recording live. So we'll see. If there are any drummers out there, give me a call.
Cool. Well, we'll talk a little bit more in a bit about this sort of difference between, you know, studio recording and performing live. But why don't we just jump into a live song right now, cool. if you're ready. Just for our audience sake, tell us sort of what you brought in for us today to perform with.
I brought in my Danelectro DC3 guitar and three pedals, a delay pedal, a blues driver pedal, and a tuner. That's it.
All right. When are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to play a song that's fairly new. It's on an EP that I just finished recording, and it's called Biome. So I'll play that.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero.
So second chances are gone, and they're gone. Plans blowing up in the air, and they're gone. Your life's work made of wooden blocks, and you're done. No more crushes on obscure cable stars, you're done, 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 done. I don't ever doubt that you know what's come. Sorted and all set aside in islands. They set off and all come across like mindless dreams. And they're right when they say, yeah, they're right when they say that you're left alone at 20. Never have the thought that you have to pass your name along. And you're begging, asking to be free of your self-imposed divinity. And you finally see the mob that you think you may have strung along. So second chances are gone, you're brushed clean. Wasted and put away, drained of all things. Confirmed, coming straight from the mouth of last night's fling. And he's right when he says, yeah, he's right when he says, you're left alone at 29. And you can't believe the deal sometimes, 'cause you never have the thought or the urge to pass your name along. And you're begging, asking to be free of your self-imposed divinity. And you finally see the mob that you think you may have strung along. You're as branded obtuse and as true as they come. You reduce me or force me to act with one strum. And the grids that unfurl between us, they puzzle me just as much as you do. Were you broken apart from the silent divide, ripped from the page of the colorless riptide, made from the tin that's been warped by 10 suns? And you grew strong. You grew strong.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. Great start to the show, man.
Thank you.
I might be going on a total, you know, tangent limb here, but there's something about your music or your style of singing that triggers in me images of knights at the round table or old medieval Celtic influences, something that's very far removed from modern indie rock. Is that coming out of a real place, or is that something I just made up right now on the spot?
No, that's actually true. I don't know. I've always had a fascination with mythology. Like, even when I was in junior high school, like, I used to go to the library and, like, check out, like, every Greek mythology book they had and, like, King Arthur stuff. And that, I don't know, for some reason it's always worked into what I write. Like, I think it's kind of... I don't know, sort of like an escape for a lot of people, I think, reading about things that are like otherworldly, and I'm no exception, really. Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of that stuff in, I mean, even in the way like I name my songs or my albums, it definitely works in there. But I think it's sort of there to keep whatever else is in my music balanced, because I tend to write about stuff too that is very like modern and sometimes like, I don't know, just like hard and metallic stuff that is present all the time. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's there to kind of balance it out.
The lyrical content of your songs, it's very verbose. So you use a lot of words, you tell a lot of stories. So is that part of it as well? Is it sort of, is that part of that fantasy element? Kind of, you know, keeping it abstract and keeping it, you know, using a lot of detail in your lyrics?
I think so. Yeah, I think that definitely plays a part in it. I mean, also, the stuff that influences me, the stuff that I've, like, kind of cut my teeth on as far as, like, listening to when I was first learning how to write songs was a lot of really, like, lyric-intensive songwriter stuff. So I think that probably had a lot to do with it too.
Does that usually come for you first, sort of the idea of the song before the music part of it?
Yeah, definitely. It always has. It sort of changed the way it comes to me just within the last couple of years. Before, it was like all lyrics. I would write all the lyrics to a song and then kind of cut stuff out. And these days it seems like it comes to me in like little pieces. And then, sometimes I'll work a melody into it right away. Other times I'll just wait and then other stuff comes to me. And like, for some reason, I always know that, like, whenever I think a lineup, like when I'm driving to work or whatever, I always kind of know what song it's for. So
Let's listen to another track from your CD. What do you recommend?
Let's listen to Rodberry.
And where can people get this CD now?
You can get it either from me at shows or on CD Baby. There's a link on my MySpace page for that.
All right, cool. MySpace.com/HerkasHero, HerkasHero.com. We're going to listen to a track from this CD, Coronet, and we'll be right back with some more live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
And there stood Arthur with the last of his unqualified knights. Unqualified knights. And remember when we used to hold the city on your cuff? It was gray if gray was vibrant, but it never was enough. And no monolith could climb above the structure of your back. And no cataclysm stronger than the echo of your laugh. The freeways keep crossing, lines keep crossing, the breathing goes straight to my head. And I don't need liquor, and I don't need power. The breathing goes straight to my head. That let me run free. It was you that never wanted me. No more breakup premonitions, new beginnings, old addictions. It was you that let me run free. Never wanted me.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Herka's Hero. What came for you first, man? Was it singing or playing guitar?
They kind of actually both came at me at the same time. I never really sang before I started playing, and I don't know, they just came at the same time. It was just one of those things.
Did you kind of have, like, when you just opened your mouth and started to sing, was that the voice that you have now, or is it something you had to work on and evolve into?
At first, I don't think that I really paid that much attention to what I sounded like. And then as I, you know, started performing live more and started recording, like, I've become a little more conscious of my voice. I don't think I'm, like, an amazing singer, but I don't know.
You feel competent in your abilities?
Yeah, exactly. And that's good enough for me.
What about that first time that you got up there and you're like, hi, you know, my name is Gus, this is Herka's Hero, and this is my music. Was that kind of a nerve-wracking experience?
It was awful.
It was awful?
I mean, it was great, but I don't think I've ever been that nervous in my whole entire life. And I'm like, I'm usually pretty jittery, and like, I get nervous real easily. But and I actually didn't go at it alone the first time. I had a guitar player with me, and it was still like, super nervous. It was like a really hot summer's day, and I was like sweating, and I was just like, I was completely nervous. And we had only, my guitar player and I had only been together for like a week before we played our first show, so we learned 6 songs, which I heard at the time, I didn't know if that was good or bad, and everyone was like, oh, you learned 6 songs in a week, that's pretty good. But then for some reason, like, I didn't know how long to play. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
So, and there was no one there to sort of guide you. Exactly. And you didn't have a full band with you to kind of protect you either. Huh?
Yeah, so I played those 6 songs and then like 10 other ones. Like, it was awful. I was like going, okay, wait, I think I wrote this. I wrote a song like 5 years ago. Okay, let's play that one. Like, I was seriously scraping the bottom of the barrel for like...
It's funny. I guess, you know, knowing... Having enough material and also knowing when to stop are both things that are important to learn as you get into this.
I know. I look back at that and, like, I totally cringe because now I'm such a stickler for, like, okay, I can't play over the amount of songs that I'm supposed to play. And, you know, just, I don't know. They're really important things, and I think they affect, like, the other bands that you're playing with and the venues and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I'm kind of a stickler for that now.
Now, there's certain kinds of venues you prefer to play in. Do you like the more intimate environment where people can really connect with your music?
Yeah.
Or do you like a big crowd?
The time I played at Angel Stadium was kind of... No, I'm just kidding. yeah, I like really small, intimate venues. I think they suit my music better, as long as they're not outdoors.
And you're actually... You're playing Crane's Tavern tonight. It's February 14th tonight.
Yeah.
And that's a great place to play.
I love Crane's Tavern. It's like my favorite place right now.
Yeah, it's very pro-music there, and it's hard to find that in L.A.
Exactly.
Have you had the experience of sort of... Because you're just sort of introducing yourself now to the live scene.
Yeah,
in LA.
Pretty much. The experiences have kind of been varied. I mean, I've been playing music for, I don't know, live since like 2000, but I've never really given it like a solid go, you know, until probably, honestly, about like a year and a half ago when I recorded the album that we've been listening to. Is when I really started thinking, hey, you know what? I should really get out there and take chances and, you know, play more than just the same little place that you've been playing at for, you know, forever. And, yeah, I mean, the experiences have been varied. There have been some mostly good ones. I've been lucky. So, yeah, Cranes especially, like, they're amazing.
How do you define a good live show? Is it just the audience reaction, or do you base it on your own performance? Or what is sort of the criteria that go into it for you?
It's like a combination of a couple things. I mean, audience reaction obviously is important, but also if I feel I did well, like, I sometimes don't care what the, you know, if everyone left like after the first song, I don't care. If I think I did well, I'm like, well, too bad for them, you know.
Sorry they missed out on
yeah,
it. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, let's jump into another live song if you're ready.
All right.
What's this one called?
This one is called Kelly Slater.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. Check it out.
It's not my fault that you're always horny on the busy days. Call somebody, cancel your 130, cause you're staying put today. Homeboys discovered the suicidal somersault.
something not redundant, something that ain't tired. And now that you've got it, it's got you pacing back and forth.
Dirty, 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 just the way I like it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. That's a really interesting song, man.
Thank you.
There's a lot of sort of, you know, references and euphemisms and metaphors in it, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying before about this whole idea of creating a world for your audience that's not just the regular, you know, oh, I met this person at a bar the other day, and here's a song about them.
Yeah. That's cool.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the sort of difference between the recording process and live performance. Tell me about putting this record together, and how do you sort of in your mind reconcile these two worlds of, you know, putting down the perfect tracks versus creating the kind of authentic live event?
Yeah, see, I don't know. Like, when I'm recording, I don't really have my mindset on making it perfect. I'm not like really bent up on, oh, we have to do that vocal over, like it's a little off, or I like to keep it a little bit more organic, like as far as my performances. I mean, I like adding other stuff too, but I don't really care if it sounds a little raw or off. Like, as long as it sounds good to me, I'm okay.
What about let's talk about sort of building your audience, this whole world of promotion, like getting people out to shows, which can be...
Yeah, could you tell me how to do that?
Yeah, it can be kind of a pain in the ass. Like, you know, you don't want to just keep inviting your friends to the same thing.
Right.
And, you know, is it... Do you like to schedule gigs like kind of far apart so that each one is like a major event? Or do you take the approach of, you know, the more I can play, the more fans I can pick up?
Yeah, right now I'm kind of taking the latter approach. I want to play as much as I can just to get out there and introduce people to my music. So, and I think that for the whole time that I've been a musician and been playing out and stuff, like, I can't really remember the last time I turned down a show, unless it was something like where I actually couldn't do it. Yeah, I just like take whatever people give me.
Has your experience in playing all these gigs, especially in LA, has that changed what your approach to your music in any way? Has it changed the way you write music and sort of what works for you, what doesn't?
Not really, actually. Music for me is like a really internal thing. I don't really think, oh, are people going to want to hear this? I think the number one thing as far as like which songs I choose to continue with and play out and record, it's just, they have to excite me. Like I have to like them. Like if I don't like them, if I feel just like so about a song, I won't pursue it. Like maybe I'll play it out live once or something and I'll be like, ah, God, that song sucks. You know, like I don't want to play it.
Well, the audience can pick up on that too. Like if an artist is not really into their song and they're just sort of churning one out, like, oh, and here's another song, you know?
Right.
You can get a sense of, you know, but if an artist is really excited about something that they're playing, then, you know, it's easier to connect to your audience, huh?
Right. I agree.
Why don't we listen to another track from the CD? This is self-released, I take it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that presents its own challenges as well. Is that sort of, is that in your list of goals in terms of like getting some sort of label distribution or something like that? Or is it better to keep it DIY for now?
You know, I grew up listening to a lot of like Riot Girl, queercore stuff. And all that stuff was so, you know, just do it yourself that I still to this day am really, really inspired by that. So I don't have like any long-term goals as far as like getting signed or anything. And I think that is not as crazy sounding as it used to be, I think, because before it was like, oh, well, if you don't have a label, then, you know, you're screwed. Good luck playing your like little town where you live.
Yeah,
at,
now
you know?
It's actually possible to distribute your music on your own.
Absolutely.
If you're smart about it.
Yeah, know? I had someone buy one of my CDs off of CD Baby in Japan. Which was like a really, really weird thing. Cause
that must have been kind of a boost of confidence, though,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it was
kind
of cool. I don't know who it was, but whoever you are, person in Japan, thank you.
They're listening right now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to another track from the CD?
Sure.
What do you recommend?
Let's listen to Skill.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. myspace.com/Herka's Hero and herkashero.com. This is Skill off of the album Coronet. Stick around. We'll be right back with more live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. We were chatting for a bit while we were listening to that song about sort of how people find music. I used to always ask people on the show, you know, what went wrong in your life that made you want to get involved in this industry? And, you know, sort of a two different, it seems like there's two different spheres of getting involved in music. One is like you grow up in a musical family and you can't avoid music, and so you eventually are taken in by music. And the other is when you don't grow up around music and you seek out music to be a part of your life. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, I've definitely had to find my way myself. I didn't grow up in a family that had really anything to do with music. I think the closest brush that I had with music growing up was this guy was, I grew up in Santa Ana, and you get a lot of like street vendors and stuff like that there, but there was this man that was going around with an accordion offering accordion lessons, and my dad almost signed me up because like he loved the accordion, and I didn't really want to do it, but I know I would have done it there was something where he was, his office was like, I don't know, like 3 miles away or something. And I was 10 and there was no one to drive me. So that was that. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just go roller skate.
So the polka community lost a big rising star at that moment.
Yes, exactly. I could have been the like Luther Vandross of the polka community or something. So I had to find music on my own. And it was a pretty frustrating experience because I knew I wanted to make music, and I was immensely inspired by an album called Strange Angels by Kristen Hirsch, who was the lead singer of Throwing Muses. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. Like at the moment I finished listening to the album, I was like, I need to start playing music. And it was just like a thing, okay, I need to start playing music, but how do I do it? Like, would I didn't know anything about guitars, nothing. So it's been really like a frustrating but ultimately rewarding experience, like to be where I am now, like to be happy with what I'm writing and what I'm doing is like, I feel like, you know, I've made it like just because of that, because it was so difficult. And that's why like it really like pisses me off when you see like musicians or people who like grew up in musical families or something, or just, you know, we're more exposed to it, like just take it for granted. Like that makes me so mad, because I'm like so thankful anytime anyone like comes up to me and says, hey, you know, that was a good song, or that was a good show, or anytime like someone, like, you know, what's going on right now, like I'm so grateful for it, and like I'm honored, and it just kind of frustrates me and puzzles me how people sometimes just take it for granted.
I guess there are a lot of divergent opinions on sort of how to look at music. I mean, the way you're describing it, it sounds like it's very much of like of an art form, and like whenever someone like really goes into their art form, they sort of go into it with a sense that it's a privilege to be able to, you know, put this paint on the canvas and have it mean something, you know. And then there are those who just like they're around it all the time, and it's just like, yeah, it's just what I do, you know. Exactly. This is the 2 minute version that I made for the corporate radio today,
and
I'll knock out a few others and you know license them or whatever. So yeah, it can be a challenge. But you also live in the real world of the industry where, you know, you need to sell your music. You want to get your voice out there.
Yeah.
Is that kind of an internal battle you have of sort of wanting to maintain your integrity as doing a certain kind of music, but also wanting it to be accessible to people who are going to buy it?
Yeah, you know, it is sort of like an internal battle, but it's not one that I think is the biggest battle, you know, like. I like it when people like my music, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to keep writing the way I'm writing, like, no matter what. I mean, even if people totally despised it, you know, if I like it, that's, you know, I just see it, like, if you get the internal right, like, the external, I think most of the time, if you're lucky, like, will fall into place. And it's kind of been happening recently, like where I feel accepted, you know, by other musicians and people, and so I don't know, I think it's working.
So if people go see you at Cranes tonight, we're not gonna see any choreographed dancing or random rap interlude.
Well,
you're not gonna be using a vocoder.
I was kind of thinking that I might go along those lines. I've been rehearsing with a dance group But I don't know. Maybe not tonight.
Any pyrotechnics? Anything like that?
Yes.
Let's do another live song if you're ready. What would you like to play?
I'm going to play a song called Oceanside Scorecard.
All right, whenever you're ready. My guest is Herka's Hero. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. Tell me about your writing process in terms of, like, do you write a whole bunch of songs and then pare it down to what you're going to go through and record and put into your live set, or do you follow each song through from beginning to end?
Yeah, I'm not a prolific writer at all. Each song, honestly, when I finish writing a song, I feel like that's the last song I'm ever going to write. Like, it's happened almost since I started writing songs, but I'm just like, okay, that's it. I've shot my creative load. That's like...
Is it because it's like an emotional experience for you, getting a song out? And
I think...
It's an exhausting process?
Yeah, it is kind of exhausting. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It just is. It's an exhausting process. Sometimes there are songs that just kind of sneak up on you. And like this last song that I played, I was watching TV like on, you know, Sunday. And... at night, and I was just like, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I just felt like, you know, oh crap, I have to like really write right now. And I got my guitar, and the song was done in like in less than 30 minutes. So, but those are few and far between. Usually they're more of a struggle than that, where I'll, you know, just mull over a song for weeks at a time sometimes.
It seems like some of the best songs tend to be those that just come through you all of a sudden, like hot and heavy, with like the lyrics and the guitar parts and everything just come at you all at once, and you can't stop working on the song until it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this last song is that I played is one of my favorites, I think, to play live. So I don't know. It just kind of feels like you almost didn't write it. Like
it kind of wrote itself.
Yeah, because you didn't, you know, you spent so little time on it that it just feels like you saw it somewhere. Like, you know, you see someone and they're like, oh, look, that guy's wearing a red hat. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just really quick and easy. And it feels kind of like, I don't know, like it's not yours.
Cool, man. Let's go back to the record for a little bit. And remind everyone once again where they can pick this up.
You can get it off of CD Baby. You can find a link on my MySpace page. And you can get it from me at shows. So,
and you said you're already working on some recording on some new material. Is there a new album in the works?
I actually just finished recording a 5-song EP. I finished recording it last Saturday. So now I just have to get it mastered and pressed, and then I'll have a new EP to sell.
That's kind of the reverse process. A lot of bands usually start with a couple of EPs and then do a full length, but you right out of the gate had this cool full length album ready.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
I recorded a lot of like 5-song EPs before, but never really gave them, you know, like that final push. Like I would just release them as CDRs and stuff that I would make myself, and the artwork would change. Like every time I had a show, it's like, oh crap, I got to make new CDs, but I lost the artwork from last time. You know, let's make something now. I don't know.
So this is not so much your debut as your first official release.
Yeah, exactly.
What track should we listen to?
Let's listen to Song in Sand.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around. We'll be right back with some more live stuff from Herka's Hero. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Herka's Hero. Gus, tell me if you have any insight into this, sort of what you hope your audience gets from your music. What do you want them to take away from it? Is it just, is it the stories? Is it the sentiment behind the music? Is there anything specific that you have in mind that you'd like to hear back from your audience that they got?
I think it's probably the sentiment behind the music, not so much as the story in and of itself, because I don't know, sometimes my songs can be a little kind of really like abstract and kind of hard to get into, I mean, as far as like the lyrical content. But I've always been a really big fan of music that you kind of forget that someone else wrote it, and you put yourself in the song where you're like, oh, you know, this really relates to me, or, you know, I don't know, just the way that it makes you feel. You know, there's sometimes like when you're listening to something and it just like takes you somewhere else where you're just like, I don't know, it gives you a feeling of whatever it is, either a feeling of release or a feeling of like of power or whatever that is. I'm a huge fan of that. So
I love that too. I love the parts of music where, like, when you're driving and a song comes on your iPod or a CD or whatever, and for that brief moment you feel like this is the montage sequence at the end,
yes,
of the episode of your day.
I know.
Where they explain, absolutely, what happens to you, you know, you can always hear the inner voiceover.
Yeah.
I love that feeling when music can give you that.
Yeah, and that's something that, I mean, if anyone's had that experience with my music, like, I would love them to tell me. That would be it.
Well, cool. Let's do one more live song before we have to sign off. What would you like to play for us?
I'm going
to
play Chrome.
All right. Whenever you're ready, man.
It's almost 2 a.m. in your black carriage of death. Me on my white steed with the subwoofer thighs just passing by. And the liquor store signs seem to pave the way. They're neon roses in the dark. Their stems reach down into the parking lot. You hold them up. And everyone wants to know where you've been. Where you hiding half their lives? And they say, oh, the birds seem to sing when you're near. It's the sweetest. Ah, 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 ah. And their knees buckle when you approach. They all fumble with the locks. And they say, even motors sync up. And they sing, it's the sweetest. Ah, 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 ah. Spray paint fails, metal spray. any mess underneath my lust for you. Metal spray paint fails, metal spray paint fails. It's a shiny, runny mess underneath my lust for you. You're a chrome-plated engine serenade. You're a gamble, a blockade. There's no getting through to you. You're a chrome-plated engine serenade. You're a titan in the fray, heated up and resolute. Metal spray paint fails, metal spray paint fails. It's a shiny, runny mess underneath my lust for you. Metal spray paint fails, metal spray paint fails. It's a shiny, runny mess underneath my lust for you.
Gus, thanks so much for coming in, man.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Hurkaz Hero, myspace.com/HURKASHERO. Also HurkazHero.com. And this will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood, and hopefully soon off of isgoodmusic.com as well, and podcast on iTunes. Gus, let's sign off with one more track from the CD. What do you recommend?
Okay, let's see. I always forget what's on there. Let's listen to Iron.
Iron it is, first track off the album. I'll be back on Monday the 18th. My guest will be the Chris Special. Check out myspace.com/thisisgood for all the upcoming guests. We have bands coming in all the way through the end of May, so it's going to be an exciting year, and isgoodmusic.com will be launched pretty soon, so we're all looking forward to that. Hear you on the air.
Behind a cloud of smoke, 11:35. The district's all alone. It must be an off night. A demon came to lure me from my sleep, with candy on his breath and Nikes on his feet. He takes me by the hand and then takes my guitar. The hair on his face looks like old silk that's been newly spun. Playboy walking through the door, his iron suit no more. Infinity no more, an ancient horoscope. Boards are resumes, rusting strings are pickup lines, single, double shot, it's all the same. stay and rumble. Lucky number, lower lights just make you feel stronger. Lower lights just make you feel stronger. Lower lights just make you feel stronger. Some steel 10 and 0 down on your steering.